Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello. Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires. I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing.
Just
say tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Luke Anderson, astronaut. A man barely interesting.
I also went to a school dance with a girl that watched Titanic, I think, 17 times in the theater. It was a different time back then.
Will Darkins, hot air balloon attendant, frightened by technology.
There's HBO hot, where it's like, you watch it, and you're like, wow, she's dangerous. I'm into that.
We have the capability to build the 33rd best radio show in Portland. On Saturdays, about sports. The Sinner and the Saint will be that show. Better than they were before. Funnier. Sportsier. More Labradoodles. On 1080, The Fan.
All right, we made it to hour two. If you missed anything from the first hour of the podcast, it will be available after the show on 1080thefan.com. That podcast brought to you by
Les Schwab Tire.
That's right, doing the right thing since
1952?
That's right.
Man, well why done, did I forget sir. That?
You didn't.
I was super distracted by the fact that ESPN has gotten so bored they're interviewing Joel Embiid at the NBA Africa game.
Yeah, and this interview's been on for like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
He's just standing there the entire time. He's had his finger in his ear. I have no idea what he's saying, but yeah, they've been talking to him forever.
I feel like Joel Embiid's he doesn't have to put his finger in his ear, but he's acting like the typical reporter, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm here live. And
yep. And Hannah Storm's like, have you seen my arms? Yes, we've seen him. Jeez. Get some sleeves.
Yeah, Hannah Storm, she's really endured the storm at ESPN.
Hey-o.
So everybody got fired. And I kind of
they fired a lot of people. The funniest thing from this week has been Brett McMurphy breaking the big Urban Meyer story.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a job.
No.
Like, he's former ESPN reporter is how he's credited. But he's out there just going, well, that's what I do. My passion. Well, I dig up dirt on people, and now they're paying him because he's doing all of these appearances on ESPN.
Yeah.
But they have to put on ESPN former ESPN reporter because that's the last job that he had.
I remember SVP was the one who kind of broke the mold and was like, yeah, bring him on TV. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then after he did it, Get Up, which is
the best TV show ever.
The opposite of what that show will do to you when you watch it. You know, he went on there, and then, you know, we got bored.
Yes. I think that's exactly what happened.
Hello?
Hello? Are we here?
Dial tone.
What? So, I want to get to a couple baseball stories that are, well, let's be honest, delightful. One delighted you, which is hard to do because you hate baseball.
Very hard to do. I can't stand baseball. Baseball separated my family, burnt down my house.
I don't think that's true. Somehow.
Might be exaggerating.
So this is one of the things where, you know, you go, you want good news first or bad news first?
Give me the bad news because that's all I want.
So this is from Thursday night. So the Mariners are on a four-game losing streak, but this is part of a much larger skid that they've been on. So the Mariners at one point had an 11-game lead for the second wild card spot over the Oakland A's.
Yeah, they're going to do it this time.
And it very much felt that way. They had that spot secured. The Yankees had the first wild card spot, and then you're just waiting for them to get through the season, and then they're going to be in the playoffs for the first time in 15 years.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be great. So as part of this skid, you look for things. You go, what's going wrong, and why is this going wrong? And have you ever heard of the name Mike Hochschild?
Now, Hochschild, that kind of rings some bells in my head, but I couldn't really tell you why.
Well, Mike Hochschild pitched for the Toronto Blue Jays on Thursday night.
Okay.
So they came out and they started a reliever, Tyler Clippard. This is something that the Tampa Bay Rays have been doing where they use an opener. So somebody that throws short innings and goes out and you want to get a clean first inning, so you throw in a reliever. So they start with him, and then they put in Mike Hochschild. And I didn't know who Mike Hochschild was, and neither did the Blue Jays. They signed him a half an hour before the game. He was not on the roster an hour before the game, was not a Blue Jay. 30 minutes before the game, we're like, yeah, you're a Blue Jay. Now you get out there and throw a baseball for six innings. He allowed four hits, no runs, no errors, one walk, and five Ks.
Okay, so did they even get his name on the back of the jersey?
They had a jersey for him.
What?
That's why he probably couldn't start the game, is because they didn't have a jersey. They're finishing sewing the nameplate on there.
They had some guy in the back.
Like, oh, we need to get a reliever in there. Why? I thought Hochschild was pitching. No, we need to get the name on his jersey.
Some guy with a pushing spindle back there, like, I'm trying to get the S on.
They run into the pro shop and buy a jersey and throw it on him. So, of course, the Mariners lose 7-3, and they lost again last night 7-2 to the Blue Jays, who have been terrible all year.
Yes.
And this is one of those things where you go, what's going wrong? It's just little things that turn into bad breaks in baseball happen all the time. And it doesn't, there's not really a reason why this guy did well, except for the Mariners are playing bad, and you get them at the right time. So the flip side of that story is the Oakland A's. And when you're doing things well in baseball, everything seems to go right. Would you wanted to share the story with me so badly. Do you want to take the A's side of the story? Because it hurts me to tell the story.
Well, I'd love to tell the story, but I've actually already forgotten the guy's name.
Which is fair, too.
That's how much I actually cared about the story. There's about 2 seconds of the story that I enjoy. So what's the guy's name? And then I can set it up.
What's the guy's name?
Yeah.
I don't know either.
Oh, see, now this is setting up bad.
No, I had it, but listen. I clicked on the story that I thought I had it, and it's just the videos of him dominating.
I bet I can out-Google you.
So this is a journeyman Oakland A's player that has been working his way up to the minors forever.
Ramon Laureano.
Yeah.
Ramon.
So, Ramon.
Ramon.
Ramon. Laureano?
Just
mumble it. Mumble and it'll sound like you're doing an accent.
Can I just call him RJ?
So RJ.
RJ there.
So he's been gets his first opportunity to play in the bigs. What does he do?
First opportunity to get in the bigs. Well, hold on. Preface just before this, he was in the minors, and before he got called up, his coach came up to him and did kind of like a tricky thing where he grabbed him by the head, and it looked like he was about to tell him you're cut, and then he goes, we're trading you. And you can see in old RJ's face there that he gets kind of upset, and then he goes, we're trading you to the Oakland A's. Awesome moment,
right?
Like, this guy's finally getting his first major league debut. Then the dude comes up on Friday and he has a monster game, first making this awesome defensive play out of center field, right?
So catcher overthrows second base, yeah, on a steal attempt. Runner goes to third. They're playing against the Tigers. I'm not sure who the runner was. And he comes up in from center field and hoses a guy at third base.
Yes. Awesome play. But then on replay, you can kind of look back and I think he was safe, but
either way, great play.
Yeah, and then he had a...
That was a tag. It wasn't the throw. So no. It doesn't take anything away from what he did. Put down a good tag, and the guy's out.
But and then he has a friggin' walk-off hit.
In his first major league game...
When's the damn
he
game?
Has a 13th inning walk-off hit. Absolutely mobbed by the team afterwards. The A's currently can do no wrong. The Mariners can do no right. I don't know what it is about baseball. Everybody complains that there's too many games, but you don't get swells like this if you make it a 16-game season. Not all sports are football. There's something about baseball where you can be on fire and 20 games above 500 at the All-Star game, but you look at the Mariners, you keep going, man, that run differential doesn't look like it's going to hold up. They keep winning these one-run games. I don't know if that's a way to do it. And the Mariners just hit that skid and start to drop off. And there's another team waiting in the wings just to have these moments where you can just pull up a guy that's never played Major League Baseball, and he helps make a great defensive play and has a game-winning hit for a team that surges past that team that was 11 games ahead just a few weeks ago.
Well, and this is the part about baseball that you enjoy the most, right?
Yeah.
More than anything. If you're not a guy who's super into baseball, is the fact that anybody at any time could make that big play. And it almost just kind of I don't know. It's kind of representative of what baseball is, which is we don't really notice the big stars as much, or at least people in the public don't. I mean, you have Mike Trout, who's having a historic year, but most people can't even recognize his face out of a lineup.
You get to the end of a basketball game, you drop a play for LeBron James.
Yes.
You get to the end of a football game, you hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch on the 1 yard line.
Aaron
Rodgers.
I mean,
it's pretty obvious what you.
Yeah.
No.
Hello.
Marshawn Lynch. No.
Oh.
You see what I did there?
Yeah. I know.
So. But you can draw up the play that you want to, right? You have control of who gets the ball, how you're going to make the attempt. You can draw up the defense or offense or whatever it is what you want to do. You get to the bottom of the 13th inning, you don't have any control whether your superstar or the guy that you signed that morning comes up with the at-bat that can matter in that game. And obviously in tie ball games, you're going to have guys that are going to run through and multiple guys will get a chance, but you don't know who's going to be stepping up. But when it's bottom of the ninth, down by one run with the bases loaded and two outs, you don't pick the guy who's there unless you might have a pinch hitter. But most of the time, it's just kind of it's potluck who that guy comes up and you get those opportunities to make the big moment. And for a major league debut, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think it also goes back to the whole thing of, MLB is one of those players leagues, right? It's about the players. These are the things we talk about. Think about it right now. Like, who are we talking about in the NBA? LeBron James. Mm-hmm. LeBron James opening a school for a public school and basically giving these students their future. We're talking about a minor leaguer stepping up and winning a game for the A's in the MLB. In the NFL, we're not talking about players right now. We're talking about an anthem protest.
Yes, we are. We definitely are.
In fact, the biggest story was we're talking about an old wrinkly white dude who owns a team. He's not even a player.
Speaking of wrinkly white dudes.
I see you. Yeah, you're right there.
A couple old timers coming in, a couple very good friends of mine, their dad and uncle are having their 35th season of fantasy football as a league. You and I are not big fantasy football players, but we got to get ready. We got to get sharpened for the Dirt and Sprague, fantasy football draft on August 22nd. So these guys are going to give us some insight into what it used to be like in the dark ages before the internet, how fantasy football got its start, at least in their lives. And then we'll talk a little who to take with your first overall pick. We'll do all that next. You're listening to The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan. 55305 is a better you today text line. One of the things that Will and I will not do on this show and won't pretend to do is give you fantasy football advice. So if you want to get it from a couple geezers that have been playing for a very long time, we've got Gary and Ernie Butenchen in the studio with us. Now, you may have heard that name Butenchen before. We've had Brian Butenchen, the executive director of the Oregon Brewers Guild, in here before. I have two great friends that I grew up with and have been as good of friends as I've ever had, and two of your sons. And then there's also Trevor. So very happy to have you guys in. Introduce yourselves. Welcome. So they recognize the voices. Gary, say hi.
How's it going, guys?
Wonderful. And Ernie?
Hey, this is Ernie talking.
So you notice Ernie has a little bit of a higher voice there. So if you're trying to distinguish between the two. So the reason
Hey there.
So the reason we had you guys are in your 35th year of your fantasy football league. Is that right?
That is true, yes.
So this would have started in, 83, 85?
Actually, it started 85. First of all, I want to give credit to Guy Norman, guy that I played baseball with in college. He started us in this in 1984 by asking me one day, can you help me figure out some players to draft in my supplemental draft? I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, so how prevalent was fantasy football back then? So you had somebody just come up and play it. Like, when, do you have any idea when fantasy football started?
I heard there was a group, either Oakland or L.A., that started in 1963, I think.
Wow. I had no idea it went back that far. So you're introduced to it. So what was it like? Like, how did you get information for fantasy football back then?
Out of the Oregonian or the Oregon Journal.
And just reading up on individual players, they didn't have a fantasy section.
No, they didn't have a fantasy section. What they had was stats.
Okay.
They'd put in the leading rushers, receivers, quarterbacks. And so that's all we went on was what those stats were.
Okay. And so I think everybody knows the league, everybody that follows it. So have you guys had, like, you know, these ridiculous stories of people doing everything they can to win leagues or cheating and digging in? Is that you, Ernie? Are you the, he's pointing at you like you're the underhanded guy.
No, you know, we have been blessed with a good group of guys. You know, our sons cousin, good dear friends for a long, long time. And so we get along really well. We're competitive. We love to beat each other up, you know, as far as fantasy scores. But as far as friendship goes, it goes deep. And that's why we keep coming back as a relationships.
What would you say is the craziest side bet that you guys have had with fantasy leagues? Have you guys had any of those side bets where it's anything insane?
You know, I have never had a side bet in fantasy in my life.
What?
Now, my sons and their buddies, they have some good college friends, high school friends that are in our league now. They probably do, but I've never done it.
Like we get to trade cars if... Like, if we had that bet, like, what do you drive?
I was going to tell you, they wouldn't want my car. Back in the early years, I drove a brown Pinto station wagon for 18 years.
That sounds sweet.
Yeah, dude, I'll take your Pinto. I'll tell you what, if I
beat you, if you're driving a Pinto, yeah. Nobody's leaving notes on your car at the gym.
No, they're not. And what's, I want to make this bet, I'll take your Pinto and you can take my Prius.
Oh, there you go.
That's, I think Ernie wins on that one.
All right, so as old guys, are you still doing fantasy football the way you did for years before you started using the internet? Or are you guys falling in the same traps that tools that we have where, listen, this is the way I do fantasy football. The computer comes around and goes, hey, take this guy. And I look at him and I decide if I want to punch him in the face or not. And then I'll look at the next guy if I do, and I'll take him if I don't.
You know,
Odell Beckham Jr. is the next guy. I'm like, I hate that guy. Who's next?
I think Gary,
Julio Jones, he's okay.
Sorry. I think Gary kind of talked about it keeps evolving. So when Michael Vick came into the league, we have rules for quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers for each position. And based on in our scoring system, distance. So a short run is only 4 points. A medium run is 8.
What's a medium run versus a short run?
Short runs 1 to 9 yards. Then okay. It goes from 10 to 19, and then 20 plus is the 12-point touchdown.
But when you have Michael Vick as a dual quarterback, which is one of the ones that kind of changed everything, he gets double the points that a running back would get.
Okay.
Well, not just Vick, any quarterback. But he was double what the running back gets. So
Russell Wilson's a lot more valuable in your league than he would be in some others.
Yeah, Cam Newton.
Sure.
Dak Prescott.
Guys that run the ball.
Any quarterbacks that are dual threats are rated higher in our league.
Okay. So like I said, Will and I don't really pay attention to it. If we're looking at a running back, who's the most valuable running back right now in fantasy football?
Well, Gary was telling me Todd Gurley. I think Ezekiel Elliott is, you know, he's still there. He's had his issues off the field, but those are two of the best.
Yeah. See, this is perfectly easy for me. If somebody told me Ezekiel Elliott's the best and Todd Gurley is a close second, no way I'm taking Ezekiel Elliott. He looks way too much like a Ewok.
Yeah, he does.
Right?
He does. But yeah. I'll tell you what makes Gurley the better play is that running backs that catch touchdown passes get double what a receiver gets, and Gurley catches way more passes than
Well, there you does. Go. All right, so good information to know. Will, who are you taking at quarterback?
Well, now I have to ask because this is an important question. This show provides critical news about one quarterback in this league who plays in the AFC South, and I want to make sure I'm making the right pick here. Now, what are the positives and negatives of picking Blake Bortles?
I don't think he's been drafted for a while in our league. And I'm not trying to be funny. It's,
well, you were. So.
Well, thanks.
So what you're saying, and we can submit this to Bortles Facts right now, in your league that's been going for 35 years, a team with Blake Bortles has never lost in your league.
Yes. Is that a correct
statement? Is that
statement?
A fact?
Well, I think,
if nobody's ever had Bortles.
Let me backtrack.
If nobody's I just want to make sure we get our Bortles facts straight.
This is important.
No team with Blake Bortles has ever lost in your league. Is that a fact?
Okay. Yeah, we'll say that's a fact.
All right. We will submit that to Bortles Facts this afternoon. There's a great Twitter feed, if you haven't found it, at Bortles Facts on Twitter. Has all kinds of wonderful facts about the wonderful quarterback that is Blake Bortles of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So want to get to this real quick because you guys are brothers. Gary, you're decked out in Seahawks. Ernie, you're wearing a Broncos hat when you came in today. How do you guys not fight constantly?
Well, first of all, I don't think my brother's a Broncos fan.
He's wearing the dumb hat, though.
I went to a
Did Denver, somebody give
I
went, him the hat?
I went to a Denver game 2 years ago. and I bought him a hat.
Okay.
That's why he has the hat. That's the only reason he has the hat.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait, he's not a Broncos fan, but you went to a Denver game and you saw a Broncos hat and you go, yeah, Ernie'd like that.
Yeah. Yeah. He told me we went to two different stadiums. We went to see the Seahawks open up against Miami. And then we went to Denver and watched Indianapolis. And this was traveling with a friend of mine, Tom Patton, in his motorhome.
Yep.
Cool. And
that's a way to travel to a football game.
Ernie says, give me a couple hats. So I picked him a couple hats.
There you go.
That's the end of the story.
Ernie, I'm guessing that a guy that drives a Pinto for 18 years doesn't turn down a free hat.
No, I don't. And the reason I have it is... I don't like to talk about championships at all. It's hard to win a league championship in 35 years. I think Gary and I counted maybe 6 total with various different combinations. My son and Gary and his son. So it's not easy to win. But Peyton Manning, a year after he injured his neck in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And they were kind of uncertain.
Sure.
How he was going to be coming back. We got him with the 5th pick in the first round because people were afraid to take him.
He lit the world on
that
fire.
That was his first year in Denver, yeah, and that's why I proudly wear the hat.
So what would you guys say is the bigger connection that's drawn with this fantasy league that you've been doing for so long? Like, what does it mean to you on, like, a character level, like a brotherhood kind of level? Because it obviously, this is, means a lot more than just fantasy football.
Yes, it does. I get to draft with my brother, my cousin Roy, my boys, my nephew, Ernie's son, guys that I went to college with, and then bringing our sons in when they were like 11 or 12 years old. Trevor, my oldest son, got his first team when he was 13.
Huh.
But he sat and watched me do it for all those years, and his buddy Dan and him knew sports as much as I did at that point.
Yep.
So it's almost like creating a legacy for your family, something that, you know, most people might look at fantasy football and just kind of, you know, scoff at it as some small game. But I mean, to your family, it's like creating a legacy of communication and, you know, making a history for yourselves.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, right now I've got my 9-year-old my 9-year-old grandson is in the league. He's been in the league for 3 years.
I bet you he's going to win at some point.
He tells me that all the time.
Because he's not making the logical or analytical picks. He's just like, that guy's arm looks pretty good. He seems fast.
Yeah, actually, you know what? He's actually pretty good at it. And he might be one of the best trash talkers in the league.
That's fantastic.
Nice.
So this is the 35th year. So 10 years ago, that means it was the 25th anniversary. That was the Vegas trip, right?
Yeah.
So the only reason I know that, I was living in Vegas at the time. All the wives came down. You sent them to one of my stand-up comedy shows, and they got entertained by that. Well, you guys did your draft. You sent them out for a night on the town with this guy. Big plans for the 35th draft party? Or can we talk you into joining us for the Dirt and Sprague fantasy football draft on the 22nd?
You know, I'd come down and help you with that.
All right.
22nd.
Yeah. Well, if you guys want to do your draft there, we're going to have all the Wi-Fi set up. We'll do the whole thing. So if you want to come down, it's going to be a big party. It's always fun. If any listeners want to join my team or my league or Will's league, just text in. All we need is an email address and a phone number. So just text in to us if you want to join us up on our teams. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing that. Guys, thanks for coming and talking a little fantasy football with us on The Sinner and the Saint.
You bet.
Thank you.
All right. Now, as your punishment, you're forced to listen to Will do the news. All right, welcome back to The Sinner and the Saint. Big thanks to Ernie and Gary Butenchin for joining us to talk fantasy football.
I for real want to see Ernie's Pinto.
So do I. I don't think he has it anymore. I think he drove it for 18 years. I don't know that he still does.
What a BA Pinto, dude.
I know, and brown is the right color if you're going to have a Pinto.
Yes.
Like, why would you get any other color?
Your turd rocket?
Why do they even make them any other color?
Now, was it the Pintos that if you tapped it on the bumper, it exploded?
I don't think so.
I kind of think yes. There was some car I remember. It might have been a Ford. Let's say I'm just going to write Pinto exploding into Google. And there it is, the Pinto fire controversy. So one of the biggest continuing automotive news stories in the later part of the 70s dealt with the tales of exploding Ford Pintos.
That is awesome. I knew that they were supposed to be lemons, I thought, but...
Yeah. So apparently you get in one of these things and somebody has a minor fender bender with you and your brains and eyeballs spray everywhere. Just blow up. Oh my God. I'm gonna... Just explodes.
You're very sound effects heavy.
Yeah.
What gets you more excited? Tiger not being that great at golf or Johnny Manziel being terrible at football?
More excited?
It's funny how much these guys draw in the headlines. I mean, Tiger hasn't won anything since 2015, I don't think. But I know he realizes he's playing at the Bridgestone where he's had a ton of success. And then you've got Johnny Manziel playing a football game poorly. And the headlines are unavoidable this morning.
Yes. And I think it's interesting that we're following Johnny Manziel more than really anybody.
I mean, right now, we're a few weeks before getting into actual football games where we'll have the 25th, I believe, is the first college football game that will actually matter. And we're going to be playing preseason football for a while. So it is in that void in sports.
So here's, I guess, where my confusion lies is, do you remember the publicity after Terrell Owens had kind of crashed and burned being as big as this was? Like, I get it that Johnny Football won the Heisman and then had this just astronomical fall from grace about 2 years later, but I feel like we pay way too much attention to him for really not that great of a career. He had one good season, and that was it.
You're talking about his freshman season at A&M.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really it. And then when he got to the pros, the only thing that was exciting about him was the fact that he was late for practice because he was hungover, and there were pictures of him with rolled up 100s in bathrooms and snorting nose candy.
Floating on swans with bottles of champagne.
So I don't get why we follow his career so much. I get why we're following Tiger Woods. Yep. And the aftermath of his explosion, because he was pretty much golf for 10 years. That's it. That's what golf coverage was for about 10 years was Tiger Woods. Johnny Manziel was a blip.
It's very true, but I think it's the idea that there's all this untapped promise. Because I even mentioned it, we watched the four interceptions that he threw. And if you take a look at those clips, and we can tweet them out at Center Saint 1080 if anybody wants to catch them. But the one play where he has the tipped interception, yeah, he floats the ball a little bit high, but it's kind of a lob, shovel pass that he throws. But you see how quick and dynamic of an athlete he is because he's evading the rush and he's moving around in the pocket and he's able to flip the ball out. But the other one, I don't know if it's the second or third. I think it's the third interception that he throws. It's way down the field. I'm kind of serious. Watch the tackle that he makes on that play. But you realize how much of an athlete he is and how people get excited about it. Pull up the clip and watch it right now and tell me it. I'm not wrong, though.
I've seen it. I know. But, you know, the guy plays quarterback and...
But there's something about the athleticism at the quarterback position. Because he was insane the way he played. When he beat Alabama, when he was at A&M,
yes.
I mean, he threw that team on his back and he just makes these insane scramble plays. And there's something about the dynamic quarterback that we've always been fascinated about, but it's been very rare that that's been, a white kid that comes out and does it. And I don't know what that is about getting people excited about. Yes, people love Michael Vick, but there's a lot of people that go, oh, prototypical black quarterback just wants to run the ball. Even though you have a lot of guys that have come out and proven that. I mean, Donovan McNabb was never a runner. There's been plenty of guys that have come into the league that have been black quarterbacks that stand in the pocket and done well.
Well, but McNabb was a scrambler. I mean, I get it. I know what you're saying. Not a runner per se. He was more at Syracuse. But I get what you're saying. But I guess with Johnny Manziel, I think the public's fascination with him more than anything is just the fact that he had so much gusto and so much bluster about him that when he did become good, usually with those kind of guys, we expect a moderate level of, modesty, right?
Sure.
Like he didn't have any of it. Tim Tebow was the exact opposite, right? He was the most modest person you'll ever meet in your life. Even when he did things that you could conceive as being a little bit cocky, like say the speech after they lost to Mississippi State.
Sure, or his his end zone celebration. Yes.
Even then you found it to be righteous enough that you're okay with it, right? You don't even want to attack it. You make fun of it.
There's people that will attack Tebow, sure. But yeah, I get your point. I get your point.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is I think people just pay attention to Johnny Manziel is because he was up at the top, he knew it, and he exploited it. And when things started to go wrong, he basically stayed who he was until this certain point now, where all facts aside, it looks like he's trying to make that transition to being a stable human being and a stable quarterback. The unfortunate part is he really, really sucks.
People really sucks. People love the fall from grace, though.
Yeah.
And they love the resurgence of it. I mean, you know, to Tiger Woods, what?
But why didn't they like Michael Vick's? I feel like people didn't jump on Michael Vick's resurgence.
The prison sentence and the dead animals?
Oh, right.
Yeah. The substance abuse and the not being able to get your life under control, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
But the, killing all those dogs.
And then going to prison, serving the time, and obviously being reformed, that we don't like, right?
Nope. Absolutely not.
I have way more respect for Michael Vick because he went to prison, he served the complete time, and when he came out, it was pretty obvious that he was a reformed human being.
Well, he came out as an advocate for the Humane Society and all of the...
He said, you know what? And really, when you look at Michael Vick's case, and again, I don't want to take complete blame off of him because what he did was absolutely horrible, but there was something behind it where I remember in an interview afterwards, he had said something like, hey, you know, I know what I did was really terrible, but you have to understand the way that I grew up, this was completely normalized to me.
Yep.
And I didn't even realize that this was wrong until later.
He didn't do it alone.
No.
I mean, it wasn't like he was by himself having dog fights.
No.
It was there.
Could you imagine? I know we shouldn't laugh about it, but Michael Vick in his garage.
It's just him. All his friends are trying to talk about him. Michael, you got to stop doing this. Why?
Michael, this is unhealthy. It's you and 50 pit bulls in a garage.
He had a great support staff around him, but he just couldn't kick the habit. No, he had a terrible support system around him that joined in the revelry and used his celebrity to bolster themselves.
Could you imagine Michael Vick in a extra large garage with like 50 pit bulls in cages, bottle of Jack Daniels and a cigarette with REO Speedwagon on, just full blast having dog fights?
REO Speedwagon?
Yeah. Nobody else is involved. There's not even money.
It's just him.
It's just him having the fights.
He loves it. No, I can't imagine that.
I can't either.
It's like a pretty terrible, terrible image. But I think people rooted for Michael Vick to have a comeback. I think you realized really quickly that he was past his prime. And he had an opportunity with Philadelphia a little bit, and he's bounced around. I think he ended up in Pittsburgh, too. And now he's going to be coaching for the American Alliance of Football, so it's not like he's completely gone away. And he's had a moderate comeback, and good for him. I think
he had a pretty good – I mean, what? He won Comeback Player of the Year. I think those first 2 years he came back, he was still in his prime. But you're right. You know,
I think people still think that there's an opportunity for Johnny Manziel to come back and play in the NFL, and it obviously didn't see many signs of that. And Tiger Woods, because he's a golfer, I think that your window's a lot larger. And I think the other thing about the golf thing with Tiger Woods is it'd be great to see him play against all of these young guys. It was always him. It was never him taking out. There wasn't a whole lot of Phil and Tiger walking down on Sundays playing head-to-head, even though that was his closest competitor. But I think if you can get a few, you know, screenshots of Tiger walking with Dustin Johnson or Tiger walking with Jordan Spieth on a Sunday at a major, the golf industry would, there'd be such a boom there.
Right. And they're looking for the passing of the guard, right?
Yeah, but they want to have Tiger win a couple so that he can then, you know, be their contemporary, even for a brief moment.
Has that really ever happened in any other sport? Like, can you remember a passing of the guard in, like, the NBA?
Yeah, Kobe, Jordan to Kobe, Kobe to LeBron. Yeah, I mean, I think.
Was it really, though? I don't really feel like there was some pivotal moment where there was a passing with Kobe
and
LeBron.
Well, no, but it's a changing of the guard. It's not a passing of the guard. It's a changing of the guard. But you have Kobe just kind of, you know, slowly fading away, and he leaves with that 60-point game. And then you just realize that the best player in the league right now is LeBron.
I mean, LeBron was the best player in the league probably 5 years during that period.
Sure. But, I mean, there was an overlap. There were blurred lines before, you know, Achilles started popping and knees started going on Kobe. There was a little bit of time where you're like, there's this young kid that's coming in and he's ridiculous. And
I think for more of it, it's about teams, really. You know, I think it's really a team thing, like a team or a franchise. Because, right, you had all through the 2000s, you had a team like the Spurs, which – you know, for the most part, practically dominated the 2000s. I know there were some blips. And well, but the Lakers won the first half.
The Spurs had five championships over a decade, but the Lakers had 5 championships in like 7 years.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. Maybe it was a little, maybe 8, but either way, it was a longer, much longer period of time for the Spurs. They never quite went away. So yeah, you can kind of see that, but the NBA's always been littered with repeats, and there's a handful of three-peats out there, and there's a lot of teams that will win a championship. Like, the Spurs never won back-to-back, but they also never really went away.
Did they?
Never won back-to-back in their 5 championships. They never won 2 years in a row. Not a single repeat. But that's what I mean. But they were always hanging around. So, but even that, to be a shock to you, the NBA, if you get a good team, you're going to have 3 or 4 cracks at it for the most part. The Pistons went to 2, I mean, in the 2000s. The Warriors, obviously, they haven't three-peat yet, even though we're sick of them already. They've been to 4 straight. But I think part of the reason we're sick of them is they haven't played anybody besides the Cavs.
And Kevin Durant is a 14-year-old. Well,
that's a fair point. All right, let's make some predictions. Let's take a look at our crystal balls. We'll do that next. You're listening to The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan. I figured out what this playlist was. So these are the Jason Bro bumper music.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, it's been Judas Priest, Sublime, Dredge. Yeah, we did this when Jason Bro came on the show last. Those were all songs for him. Anyways.
Boy, Creed. You remember the lead singer?
Scott Stapp?
Yeah, Scott Stapp, and he got drunk on stage and forgot lyrics.
Yeah, that's every lead singer ever.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, the guy from Blind Melon, his name was Shannon Hoon, he once got so high and so drunk that he peed on the crowd in the front row.
I wish I was at that one.
Yeah, it'd have been good. What?
Pee on me!
What now?
Shannon Hoon?
Shannon Hoon! And then he overdosed on... heroin.
All right.
Yeah.
Good old Shannon.
Yeah. I was playing craps one time in Vegas, and there's a guy that looked just like Shannon Hoon, so I called him that, and nobody at the table knew what I was talking about except for the guy that had modeled his look after the overdosed former singer of Blind Melon. He's like, sweet, yeah, Shannon Hoon.
The one guy. Oh, whoa, Shannon Hoon, bro?
Yeah. Well, no, he knew who, like, the only guy that knew was the guy that I was making fun of for looking just like Shannon Hoon. He's like, absolutely. I've cultivated this look over the years.
Whoa, whoa, you're a Blind Melon, bruh?
Yeah, you Blind Melon too?
Oh, you're into that band?
Well, I was wearing a bee costume at the time, so it made sense.
Mm.
Get it from the video? No? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, so crystal balls.
Yes.
We need to talk about something.
Okay.
I'm out next week, back the week after, and then one more quick camping trip before the end of the summer, and then we're into football season.
Yes.
Usually I don't take these picks very seriously, as you quite well know. Do we want to take it seriously this football season and put something on it when we're making our actual picks for college and pro football? And how should we do it?
So you're saying that we should do some picks for our show only and put some money in it.
Put some skin in the game. Not necessarily have to be money.
I have an idea that we should try to find the cheapest and most available prize we can. And then we can create a league within our show with us and our listeners of who can win the prize.
I think so.
Now, I don't know what the prize will be. Will it be a package of reusable straws? Perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe a $10 gift card to Ross Dress for Less.
Ooh, that's nice.
That could buy you a lot.
55305 is a better you today text line. Anybody want to challenge Will and I in a pick 'em? We'll set them up on Twitter. We can use that Twitter thing. We'll do at CenterSaint 1080. We'll put all the picks up, and then you'll just I guess they would have to do like a Twitter reply and say who they got picked, right?
We could also do 15% off your next purchase at DSW.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's a pretty darn good price.
15% off already low prices on name brand shoes at DSW.
Name brand shoes that distributors just couldn't sell to anybody because they suck.
I would get in on that. I got a pair of semi translucent rubber gripping on the bottom, so you got to see some of the graphics that were put on the wood top. Oh man. Get myself another pair of Rocket Dogs.
Right after that, I went next
door.
I'll
tell you what, if any listeners want to challenge me at the Pick'em, if there's a 15% off DSW shoe purchase, I'm playing for keeps.
Right after that, I went next door to pick up a pair of slacks from Walmart.
No, I don't recall. Actually, I can tell you the DSW was. It was in the San Fernando Valley, right off Sepulveda and the 405. Right down there. If you've ever been to that DSW, that one was sweet.
That's tight.
Yeah. Any other prize ideas?
No, not really. I mean, it's just going to be either a percentage or a gift card to maybe Orange Julius.
Think we could get a new car?
A new car?
Let's see if we can get in on the... we can get a hold of that Pinto. Talk to Ernie.
Somebody on the Better You Today text line 55305. Yes, I'd love to win Ross coupons. I'm picking all Detroit teams, Detroit Lions, Pistons, Detroit College. I'm quite sure.
I don't think they understand what we're actually going to be doing.
Maybe they mean that at Ross Dress for Less, they have like old bomber jackets for the Lions. Like, how good of a find would that be at Ross Dress for Less if you saw an old 1990s starter's bomber jacket of the Lions?
You know, remember the team apparel shirt that said, you know, it's like property of Detroit Lions or
yeah.
whatever? I bought that shirt at Ross Dress for Less in 1999.
Whew. Hell of a time to be alive.
Yeah, when I graduated from high school, my goal was to have a shirt for each of the 32 NFL teams. I only got to about half of them. And then I was like, this is kind of stupid. I don't really need that. But I found the property of Detroit Lions shirt, and I think it was one of the first ones I bought. And I'm like, that's a sweet shirt. I don't really care about the Lions. Maybe I'll just wear NFL apparel. And then I was like, nah, this is kind of stupid. But I got to about half.
Wait a second. Why were you collecting property of NFL shirts?
They weren't all property of. So here's what happened. I go into the Ross Dress for Less, and they had the brand new shiny Detroit Lions shirt. And I'm like, that shirt is pretty dope. I'm going to get that. Lions colors are good. Barry Sanders may have just quit from the Lions. And I'm like, Lions, I'm not going to quit on you. So I buy that shirt. Then I went to, I was at Goodwill, and I came across like a 1970s or 1980s 49ers championship t-shirt from their first Super Bowl.
Was this all on the same day?
It was within like a short period of time. Couldn't tell you if it was the same day. So I come across, it is a t-shirt from the first 49ers Super Bowl. So it's all block letters. It's before they had any real graphics on it. I'm like, I'm buying that t-shirt. Then I ended up with, I had a Seahawks t-shirt already. I added a few more, got a Colts t-shirt. I'm like, man.
So screw it. I'm just going to get the whole
league.
I'm doing
really well. So yeah. So I decided I was going to get the whole collection. And then I got a Browns t-shirt and I was like, man, this was a stupid venture. What was I thinking? And then I moved on beyond it. And
here I am today.
And here I am. That's how I got here. That's the story of how I got to where I am.
I just,
Sam the mailman's in on the pick'em, so we'll figure out. You and I will sit down and we'll kind of figure out how we want to organize this. But we're gonna do a Sinner and Saint pick'em. We're gonna come up with a rad prize, and y'all
prize. That's a good way to put it too. Yeah, a rad.
We're gonna
prize.
Come up with a rad prize.
Just something
and we'll
that
get
if
it.
You happened upon it, you'd yeah. say, well, that's nice.
So in the next few weeks, we'll start it when I get back. That'll be the first weekend in September. Mm-hmm. And we should have a full slate of college football games. We'll be approaching the kickoff for NFL football. It'll be a good time. It'll be interactive. It'll be fun. Also, if anybody wants to get in on the Dirt and Sprague Fantasy Football, Will and I will both have leagues. Just shoot us over an email. We'll have your phone number because you'll be texting it in if you do it that way or if you go through Twitter. But just hit us up if you want to play in I don't know if we'll each have one or if we'll do a Sinner Saint League this year. It'll kind of depend on how many people we have enter. So
I'd like to do a league together because I can't handle
it. I think it'll be more fun that way. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Maybe we'll just have Boomer run the other league. We get required to.
Old Boomer. Yeah, there's a guy who started at our company who he just told us his name is Boomer. And then within the
span. And we were supposed to take it like that's your real name.
Yeah, well, no. And then in the span of the day, we go, is that your legal name? And he goes, no. And he didn't follow it up with a story.
What is it, Leslie?
I don't
What's
know.
What's his real name?
No, he didn't tell us.
Sue? We don't know his real name?
See, you don't get it.
Well, I haven't actually talked to him yet.
I said, hey, is your
Tried
real name Boomer?
To avoid him at all cost.
I said that. I said, hey, is your real name Boomer? And he goes, oh, no, it's not. And I didn't say anything else, and he didn't follow it up.
Yeah, you would think you would do. So he has no social etiquette, and his name's Boomer. Go figure.
I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything.
Big thanks to Gary and Ernie Butenchin for coming in to dazzle us with stories of old-time fantasy football, give us a little bit of advice moving forward. It's a good story playing with your kids for all those years. Yeah, download the podcast. Let's Drive Tires podcast is at 1080thefan.com.
Yeah, mercifully end the show.
Yankees and Red Sox are on the fan or something. Oh, okay. Show's over. Bye-bye.
There you go.
Just before you draw your terminal breath, you'll see it's all a show. Keep up.
Peaches in Europe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.